The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, they say that. Who's they? Anyway, the ubiquitous they say that diets depend upon a lot of factors. Most diets can work depending upon the will to lose weight. Well, trying to drop weight doesn't seem to be working all that well for me. So I'm turning to my next project. I'm going to concentrate heavily on trying to get taller. That's what I'll do. If I can get up to 6'6", I should be okay. Weight to height. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program here, The Doctor Is In. Thank you so much for joining me. Call-in program. I have a number of lines there. If you would like to get onto the program, it's very easy. I had to struggle and grovel and scratch and claw and scramble my way to this program. You don't. It seems, doesn't seem right, does it? All you do is dial 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. EQUAL is the acronym for these last digits of the number. And several reasons why people call. You have a question about something in their life, a person in their life, some circumstance, something that they know they're not going to get therapy on, but they just want to hear another take, a brief take, a thought, something that can maybe nudge them, push them, shove them in a different direction. Or they can hear what I have to say and think to themselves, that's it? That's all the guy's got? Why did I waste my time calling? Or sometimes they call with wonderful advice for other people. They've been through it, and they listen to what I suggest, and they don't say it, but they're thinking it. I can do better than that. And then they call in with a good suggestion. Sometimes they call in with something they don't understand about modern psychology or development or intellect or emotions or a diagnosis or hypnosis or interventions or therapies or the faith as it interacts with all of those. So I'd very much like to hear from you. 877-573-7825. I think psychology has overpromised. Somehow, over the decades that psychology has been dominating our culture, we've given people the impression, and even when we don't give them the impression, they absorb the impression, that if they just do what we say, then they can raise the kind of kid they want. Or they can fix the marriage the way they want. Or they can get along with someone who's hard to get along with. We have the techniques. We have the strategies. We have the formulas. Let us look at parenting, for example. You have a child who is really giving you trouble. Now, I got to tell you, and this will be another monologue, much of the time when children give us trouble, it is, I'm going to lose some listeners saying this. I'm going to lose some listeners. Much of the time, it can be made a whole lot better by the way the parent deals with it. So when a child is giving you trouble, the first thing you have to ask is it me? What am I doing? How can I do things differently? How can I get better at this? How can I be more confident? Better at disciplining? So that's the first thing. But let's assume that this is happening. You're a good parent, and you're doing a lot of great things. This child is still having trouble growing up, still being impulsive, still contrary, still difficult. Well, that bespeaks of something. It says there are no formulas. One of the things I have to do now when I see parents, especially as they describe a child, sometimes I have to say, that's your son. That's your daughter. You're going to have to respond to some of this. You're not going to be able to make it all go away. It's who they are. They're going to do impulsive things as they get older. They're going to show poor judgment for their age. It's going to happen. And you're there as a parent to maybe pick up the pieces. Or you're there as a parent to not necessarily anticipate it, because you can't anticipate it, but you can react to it. You can respond to it. You can keep it maybe from getting out of control. So, the thing to remember, and this is something that I get paid the big bucks for, these kinds of observations. Children are children. And sometimes they're going to do stuff no matter how good our psychological formulas are in dealing with them, no matter how savvy and enlightened that we are in raising this child, they're still going to do this stuff. And as the parent, we respond. We say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we will do damage control. This is how we will hopefully teach a lesson. This is how I will tell myself this could happen in the future, because it happened in the past. So many folks are now of the mindset, and I think this is really part and parcel of psychological correctness, they are of the mindset that if I just had the proper approach, if I just had the right words, the sticker system savvy, if I just knew the formulas, this child wouldn't be like this. It would be much smoother. Yes, there is a lot you can do to make it better and smoother, of course. But you are dealing with a free will. You are dealing with a wired temperament. You are dealing with a child who is this way. Now, how do you know what of the way is your parenting and what of the way is the child? Well, as you get better at your parenting, if the child is still doing some of these things that are driving you crazy, then it's probably the wiring and the temperament and the innate personality of the child. Anybody who's had more than three or four kids knows this. They're all over the map in terms of how they approach life, how they approach relationships, how they approach school, how they approach discipline, how they approach the faith. All over the place. Some respond very, very well to your parenting formulas. Actually, you know, that's one of my pet peeves when I listen to these shows, secular shows, talking heads that talk about, well, here's what I did, and this is why it worked so wonderfully well for me and my family. The implication is, you see this? I've got the idea. I've got the technique. You imitate me. First of all, that's very intimidating. Second of all, it's very arrogant. Third of all, it's narrow. It would be better to say, this worked for me and for my child. I don't know how it will work for you and for your child. 877-57 equal, if you'd like to call in, because I am the way that I am. Why am I this way? I don't know. God knows. I can speculate. I miss it most of the time.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Cool walking along the beach music. Sigmund Freud really was one of the originators of psychological insight. He said that if you could uncover the way back factors, dynamics that made you the way you were, then having that insight could cure you. It could make you better, make you more adjusted, at least according to Sigmund Freud's definition of adjustment. Well, we have an anonymous caller from Hawaii who wonders why her mom is the way that she is. She's got some speculations on this. She's looking at mom's side of the family thinking, okie dokie. Well, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, and I'd like to know why my mom is, but how far do I go? Hi, caller from Hawaii. How are you?
Good.
That's good. So, you got any ideas why your mom is the way she is?
Yeah, abuse.
She was abused?
I don't know. I just think in that family there was abuse. I heard of abuse, but I can't verify it. You know, I can't talk to my mom about any of this. But I don't understand why. Well, yeah, I don't know why her, like, sisters are, what's that, like, they think people are calling, and so they're not going to answer the phone, and they think their phones are tapped, kind of. And so I don't know if that's from abuse or if I'm thinking it's a mixture of two, like schizophrenia, because there is schizophrenia in that side of the family also, but then there's abuse. Like one of her sisters married a alcoholic and he was, I think at least I would consider that verbally abusive, the things. He played games with her. They played games.
Well, what you do know is that your mom didn't have the most stable upbringing, right?
It doesn't look that way, but there's, you know, they were, yeah, it doesn't look that way. They were Catholic. Very, well, not very. I think he the dad fell away. He got mad at the priest and fell away and decided he'd be not Christian, even though he's very intelligent.
The overall picture.
And we think maybe he went back.
The overall picture, as you're describing it, is that there may be some psychosis in the family, which is there's a paranoia that is part of their thought disorder. And your mom won't talk a whole lot about her growing up. So you are left to speculate.
She won't talk at all, any of the bad stuff.
Yeah, you're left to speculate on my mom is my mom. Now, your question, is it immoral to snoop? What do you mean by snoop?
Well, I just have that. I always have lots of questions. I'm always wanting to call you. And so that's my personality. I'm very curious. And I just feel like I need answers. Why? Because it affected us also. It affected me. I feel it affected our whole family, my siblings. So there's a hurt there. And so
I guess if I know. Okay. Well, see, that is your assumption. Your assumption is, if I know, I'll be better able to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that's not necessarily true. Let us say that.
But is it wrong then?
Is what wrong, dear?
Is it wrong to try to figure out what happened? Without talking to my mom.
Well, that's it. You're not going to go back and do some Facebook posts back then. I think it would be wrong to push on your mom because she didn't want to talk about it.
I wouldn't push on my mom. I would want to talk to relatives, but okay. I don't know if I can. But I would want to go.
Well,
I wouldn't have anything to do with my mom.
There's nothing necessarily immoral about it. But the question is, what's the purpose? If you talk to the relatives, there's several things going to happen. One, you're going to get each relative's perspective. You're not necessarily going to get accurate history. You're going to get the way those relatives remembered it or looked at it. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's differences in their assessment. Okay. So the first thing is, even if you talk to them, you can't be sure what you're getting. That's the first thing. But let's just say they all agreed and they all said, oh, yeah, here's all the factors that we can figure out. Well, you're going to get an incomplete picture because they weren't there. They were not in that house. They do not know exactly what went on. They're going to give you at best 1%. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get 1%. But here's the most important thing. Are you a Christian?
Yeah, Catholic.
Okay, Catholic, okay. You want to love your mother. You want to honor your mother. You want to give her the benefit of the doubt. You want to have tolerance for her, no matter what. So if you don't know the way she is, why? It may require more love on your part to accept her. You have to say to yourself, you know, my mom is kind of odd. My mom's a damaged individual. My mom has struggled in life, and she's still struggling in life even at her age. Okay. Obviously, a lot of hurt there, a lot of pain, a lot of stuff she doesn't want to blame anybody for because you won't talk about it. All right. I gotta look with soft eyes upon my mother. Now, that takes a lot of love. It really does. Yes. Because if you go back and you say, well, okay, here's what happened. This, and this. Okay, now I'll love her. Well, love her anyway. Now, that doesn't mean you have to, again, do everything she says. It doesn't mean you have to have this ongoing ushy-gushy relationship with her at all times because she can be difficult. But if you have it in the back of your head that I will always pray for her and love her because she's my mom and I have no idea why she is the way she is, a lot of it just could be her wiring, I don't need to know. Would it surprise you?
It'd be best just to let it go.
I would.
It'd be best just to let it go.
Yep, I would. Okay. If it were me. Because I tell you, at best, you're only going to get a partial picture. At best.
Right.
Because they don't know it. They don't know much of anything. They'll give you some stories and that. Why pop open that can? But, you know, you can do what you want. But you know what I do think, another thing? I don't think it'll make you feel any better. I think it'll probably just
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, maybe it'd make me feel better if I knew. Yeah. If I had answers.
Well, yes and no. You may not agree with the answers. You may think, well, wait a minute. That's still no excuse for her to act this way because it wasn't that bad. Yeah,
I think something very bad.
Well, okay. And my parents, my grandparents, you know, they all had their own upbringings. And I didn't have to say, well, I got to go back and figure out what was in my mom's life that could have been traumatic or could have been rough. I just got to love her for this day. All righty, my dear.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Kara from Houston is calling because this is now a question that is probably in the top five questions I now get. 10 years ago, it wasn't in the top 20. 20 years ago, it wasn't in the top 50. But it is now. So one might say, okay, what are the changes occurring? Are these due to people becoming more comfortable with sharing this attraction? Is it due to social acceptance? Is it due to sexual confusion among the young? Hi, Kara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All righty. Your daughter has told you. And how old's your daughter, Kara?
She's 15.
Oh, this is not an adult here. Mm-mm. Uh-huh. And has your daughter told you, Mom, I have never, ever, ever related to girls in a way of identifying with them? I've never been attracted to boys, ever, ever?
No, not exactly. When I try to talk to her, she kind of shuts down about it, because I approach it wrong, because I'm in denial. I feel like she says I'm in denial about her sexuality. Mm. And I told her, you never know. No, you might change your mind.
Well, if you go by statistics, a very high percentage now of adolescent girls who are confused sexually early on in adolescence by the end of their teen years return to their biological sex and that attraction that involves. So if you just go by statistics, you're right. Does your daughter have essentially unlimited access to the internet?
Essentially, I guess she does. Yeah.
Yeah. There is research now coming out that is indicating that many of the places that the kids hang around on the internet really push a gender confusion. Very much so. I would ask her how she came to this conclusion. I would ask her, how is it that you've decided this? When did you decide it? Who have you talked with about this? I would also ask her, I mean, you at age 15, you wouldn't let her date boys, right? Too young?
Right. Well,
so
right.
Then you have, as a parent, you're allowed to say that there's no dating.
Yeah.
Not at this point. Stay there.
What about no? Okay.
Stay there. I'll talk to you. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray, 877-57-EQUAL. I would love to hear from you. Call anytime during the program. You have an equal chance of getting on.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Belsky is your host for real-life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Belsky, and today's topic is Eucharistic Stewardship, Bringing Christ to People and People to Christ. Question: do you believe Jesus to be truly present in the Eucharist? If you are Catholic, then your answer should be a resounding yes. The pinnacle act of stewardship through our Christian faith as Catholics is to bring Christ to people and people to Christ. As Catholics, the number one way to ultimately achieve this way of life is through receiving the Eucharist. The minimum requirement of receiving Jesus through the Eucharist coincides with the third commandment: keep holy the Sabbath, and thus receiving communion at Mass. But if you want to go above and beyond what's expected, then perhaps consider making daily communion a top priority, or encourage others to make this positive change with you. The sacraments of Holy Communion and Reconciliation are two of the most powerful and transforming ways to bring you closer to the love, peace, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Another act of stewardship to bring one into communion with Christ might initially start by first bringing that person into the Catholic faith. Since the Eucharist is the focal point of our faith, your knowledge of the Eucharist is important. However, that's where priests and the RCI program can assist in explaining our faith and the role of the Eucharist. In summary, spend some time in prayer to discern how the Eucharist can play a greater role in a stewardship way of life for you or for someone you care. This is Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
A little bit of 70s music. It's Dr. Ray Grinney. Thanks for joining me. My wife told me, get out of the 70s, Raymond. I like my turtleneck. It's really nice. And I like my three-piece suit. She wants me to get rid of those. Thanks for joining me here. I'm talking to Kara from Houston. She has a 15-year-old daughter who shared with mom that she now has same-sex attraction. Mom did not see any of this gender confusion in her daughter growing up. So it's kind of thrown mom for a loop. She's wondering where this is coming from. And there is gathering research and survey data that indicates that an awful lot of girls, more girls than boys, and this is unusual, it didn't used to be this way. It used to be more boys than girls. Now we're getting more adolescent girls than boys who are saying, I have same-sex attraction, or I am transgender, and there is a tie. You eventually got to look at the research, and the research is indicating that time spent on social media, it can be very, very confusing to young children. So I'm talking to mom and advising mom to explore a little bit on how her daughter came to this conclusion. And mom says that the daughter has a girlfriend. You there, mom?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how to deal. Do I just not let her hang out with any girls that are even just platonic friends, or she
no?
Can't just be...
I don't think you can go that. No, you want
to
go that far, but I think you are within your rights to say you can't date because you wouldn't let her date heterosexually.
Right.
Sure. So you're too young for this.
And I don't know if I made the mistake by telling her that I understand that, or that I told her, you know, you're living in my house, these are the rules, and I can't promote, you know, that gay lifestyle. I said, I understand when you get older and you move out, I can't control what you do, but, and if that's what you choose to do, I'm not going to disown you, and I'd still have you over.
Would you condone a heterosexual active lifestyle?
No, but okay. I would still let my daughter, I guess, bring her boyfriend over to for dinner and family occasions, but I would still let them know up front, you know, that I'm not for what they're doing.
Well,
even though
as a mom, you look into this and you make a judgment on where this confusion is coming from, if it is confusion, on your daughter's part.
and recognize, okay, wait a minute. I did what many parents do, as I gave unbridled access to the internet. And she has, through much of the internet, become convinced that this is something she wants to explore. This is something she wants to look into. It may or may not be that she has same-sex attraction. It may be that she's thinking to herself, well, I'll check it out. I like it. It's good. It's cool. So that's something I think you gotta probe about this. And as a parent, you still have the ability to say, here's my rules in living in my house. You have that. If it were a boyfriend that you thought was not good for her, you would say, no, he can't come here. So in that sense, as a mom, you still have that prerogative. Okay. All righty. God bless you, dear. Good luck. Let's see how it plays out. And keep in mind that if you're going to go by statistics, there's a pretty good chance that your daughter, by time she's in her later teens, will return to the identity that she is biologically established with. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Ellen from Kansas City says, she has a comment for our first caller, Anonymous from Hawaii. She understood her dad's background, and she said that helped her to see him in a softer light. Ellen, hi.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
What was it that softened your view of your dad?
Well, I grew up in an alcoholic dynamic. My father was an alcoholic and all the fun things that come along with having an alcoholic parent. And my mom shared with me when I was adult a lot of stories about his childhood, because he's always been very difficult. Like, I really do not think my dad is capable of loving someone else outside of himself, through some of the things he said and done and treated us or whatever. But like, listening to these stories of his childhood and what the horrible things he endured and went through, I can kind of understand how he is the way that he is. And it just allows me to be more patient. It's allowed me to forgive him for some of that stuff. It's allowed me to understand myself a little bit better. It has just been really helpful to see a different side of it, to kind of picture him as this young child in the stuff that he was exposed to and endured. That honestly, it's kind of a miracle that alcoholism was the only thing that plagued him later in life. So I mean, it may not be that way for everyone, and I don't know the dynamic of that caller's relationship with their parents, but sometimes, even though ideally it shouldn't, right? I should love my dad because he's my dad and he's a son of God and a, you know, loving individual. But sometimes when people are really difficult, it's hard. And there's a lot of like hatred and unforgiveness among my siblings. And I don't know. So that's all. I just wanted to throw out that sometimes it's helpful to deal with difficult people when you know kind of where they've been.
You bring up a great lesson, Ellen, which is, because you knew a little bit about the ugliness in your dad's life, you were softer toward him.
Yes.
Later. I think the lesson I can take from you, maybe somebody else too, is there's always a pretty good chance that someone who is very difficult has had stuff in their lives that if we were to know about it, we would be much softer in our view of them.
Yes.
And that's a lesson. That's a lesson for me in helping me not to judge so quickly someone, because I always keep in mind there's probably an awful lot I don't know. And that's why God says don't judge a person's soul, because he knows everything and we know one infinitely small piece of it. Good lesson for me. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome.
All right. I appreciate it. Well, I got to say, well, now, shoot. Okay. Don't go away, anybody. I got time to get to you. But I was just getting ready to take a break, but I got a minute. So here's what I'm going to say. Good Lord permitting, next week we will be in San Diego, California, shooting 4 episodes of the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray. You want information on that? Go to Catholic Answers. I think they have a page where you can sign up to be on any of the shows. We've got some great guests. We're going to have Jimmy Akin as one of our guests. No, Jimmy comes to me when he's stumped by a faith or a life question. You know, yeah, right. So, but if you'd like to, go to Catholic Answers, and they've got the landing page there set up. And we'd love to have you on the program next week in San Diego, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 and 7:30, both nights. I hope to be there. I'm the host.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer. To be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. Some critics of the New Testament suggest it is filled with the prejudicial opinions of the writers, and not exactly what Christ taught, and therefore not reliable. They claim the stories and teachings were altered to bolster the church's authority. But the most prolific writer of the New Testament distinguished Christ's teachings from his own. Paul's discussion of marriage and celibacy in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a perfectly good place for him to pass off his own opinions as those of Christ. But he does just the opposite. Twice, in verses 10 and 12, he writes plainly, "This say I, not the Lord." And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me. Dr. Stan Williams.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thanks for joining me. Doctor is in. I just want to say that Mindy from Nebraska is a much, much more tolerant mother than I am as a parent. Because I would have done what Mindy is doing three colleges ago. Hi, Mindy. How are you?
Good, Dr. Ray.
I'm saving you some money.
Yeah. You're on my husband's side. I guess I'm the easy, you know, I'm just the pushover mom. And yes, my husband wanted to, like you said, yeah, three colleges ago, no degree, you know, move, transfer, whatever. We maybe have a semester and a half of past college credits, and you know, and I finally just said, okay, that's enough, you know.
Mindy,
I went about it.
Wait a minute, just help me do the math here. Your son's 25?
He's 23.
Oh, he's 23. Okay, and you have
an
accumulated 1.5 semesters of credits.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You told Eric he kind of bounced around. I don't know if that's bouncing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's that's free falling.
Exactly. Yes. So I thought what a good approach, because he always gets defensive when, you know, sit down and talk to him about these tough subjects, like, oh, well, you know, excuse. So I wrote it down in a letter so he couldn't interrupt me. I could get all my what I wanted to say out and everything. And And he, you know, of course, I sent the letter 2 weeks ago, and he apparently finally went and got the mail, and got the mail today, and, you know, called me and said, how old are you? You really had to write this in a letter. And I said to him why I wrote it in the letter to say.
Wait a minute. He's criticizing your letter writing.
Yeah.
He's not saying, Mom, I'm going to answer what you said.
Right. And so
that's funny.
Saying, like, it's, I don't know, apparently not mature to write it in a letter.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I just thought if it was in the letter, he could reference it back. You know, I gave him, like I said, how a month and a half.
Mindy, you didn't write cursive, did you?
I did write cursive.
Oh!
I did.
How last week? How dare you put your thoughts in cursive? No wonder he's upset. So which college are you going to pay for now? Yeah.
So I didn't know we're not paying for any college. It was his, you know, he went on a scholarship, then he was taking out loans. So the only thing that was my money was saying, if you were going to school full time and, you know, getting good grades, then we'd pay your car insurance. Well, and then it was like, oh, well, you know, I wasn't grades. You know what I mean? Anyway,
Mindy, what do you think he was doing the last 5 years getting only one semester worth of credits? What do you think he was doing?
Right. So, I'm, you know, the college party life. Right. So now my question is, you know, how do I gave him this month and a half. You find your own car insurance. You need a full-time job, but I don't want to deal with it anymore. You take care of your stuff. I have four other children. I'm taking care of, you know, husband and I are doing this. I love you. This. And, of course, his response back is, well, now I can't come home for Christmas. I said, oh, maybe by Christmas you'll have, you know, you need to go find a full-time job. I mean, I'm sorry if you have to work Christmas, you know. Well, gas is expensive. Well, and, you know, I'm sure that's in the coming week.
He must smell that you're an easy mark to make feel guilty.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So, I mean, normally I would be sad and, you know, crying and whatever, like, oh, I do want all my family together for Christmas, but I know he's going to keep using this against me. The other part of the story, I guess you should know, is I had him before my marriage, so my husband is his stepdad, and so my son will have the opportunity. He can go to his dad's for Christmas. He lives closer to his dad than us. And while I will be sad if he doesn't come here, I just want to know how I approach him moving forward when he's going to keep bringing, you know what I mean?
Well, you already did kind of approach him, even though it was in cursive. Ew!
Right.
which tells you something. He didn't want to respond to what you said. He wanted to make you feel childlike and immature for not putting it in a text message or an email. So that tells you something. That tells you he doesn't agree with anything you said in that letter.
Okay.
So you just don't understand him, Mindy. That's the problem. You just don't understand.
Right. You know, and I told him, I said in the letter, you know, you feel like I don't know what I want to do with my life. This is a big decision. And I know he's not going to Mass. And so in there I wrote, you know, are you trying to make these big decisions on your own, or are you praying about it? You need to get back in the graces of the church, you know, and like I said, 23-year-old boy, I don't know how long it'll take him to learn the hard knocks, you know?
Well, the key, as I hear it, is not so much that you're going to find the words to make him understand. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think the key is for you not to feel like a bad mama because you finally said enough's enough. He's 23. He's capable being on his own, doing what he needs to do. And the fact he's not coming home for Christmas is, Mom, I hope you're happy with yourself, because now you won't have me as your son on Christmas.
Right.
Yep. That'd be my guess. So, in the words of, remember the Fifth Dimension, One Less Bell to Answer? Remember that song?
Yeah.
Well, you have a variant of that, One Less Gift to Buy.
Right.
I'm not making light of this for you, Mindy, but I think you finally decided, okay,
I gave every benefit of the doubt for as long as I could. My husband was upset with me, but he let me go. And now you're saying, okay, I said it in my letter. Let's see what he does with it. So I hope he calls you. And you don't say again all the things that, in fact, you said in the letter. Just simply say, so what's going on? What are you doing with your life these days? What's happening with all of that? That's pretty much it.
Right. Let him deal with it. I mean, I know his insurance is going to cost him more on his own, but he can figure that out. He can work extra hours, not me. Yeah.
Don't feel guilty, for heaven's sake.
Right.
You said you had four other kids? You had four other kids?
Yes.
I will bet you with the money that you've been spending that those four other kids are looking at their mother going, why is she letting him do this?
Yeah, well, probably definitely the one that's closest to him and a senior in high school. Yeah, she's probably thinking,
Now, one thing you may have to deal with, you said you have to deal with the backlash. Here's the one thing you'll have to deal with. Your daughter, who's going to go to college, is going to say, well, hey, I mean, you gave him every break, and I'm the good kid. I don't do any of that stuff, so I expect my share.
Yep.
All right, Mindy.
I got myself in the foot there. All right, thank you.
Thank you, dear. Merry Christmas to you. Be back, Dr. Ray.
The Encounter Online Virtual Conference is December 27th through the 29th. 15 powerful speakers, prophecy, healing, and impartation. Do you want more?
The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no solution to the cultural and church crisis but Jesus Christ the Lord, alive in a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. He's finding out right now who's with me, who wants to live in the Spirit of God, who wants to follow me. That's what he's doing. It's going to be a work of God for the glory of the Father glorifying the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit through a people who are alive to him and are proclaiming him with everything they've got.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is Speak of the Devil, Spiritual Warfare. This EWTN original docudrama based on the parable of the prodigal son imparts valuable insights on how to be battle ready in the spiritual war we all face. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that. So don't let us hear where you're coming from, or I will have to set up a win-win scenario. Anonymous mom from Iowa said that she went through the same thing with her daughter. Like Kara, who's a 15-year-old, has informed mom that she has same-sex attraction. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Well, what was your backstory and front story?
Well, I just my heart went out to that mom because I just remember going through that too, and just feeling like there wasn't anywhere to turn, or I don't know, just feeling really overwhelmed, I guess. But fortunately, I'd been listening to Catholic radio and. I don't remember exactly who it was that was talking, but said that when you're going through spiritual warfare, you need to get yourself to confession. And it just hit me. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's what's going on with our family. And so we did that. I like right away the next day after I realized, and this happened, we realized what was going on because I was taking a look at my daughter's phone and saw texts and things. And so before I even talked with her, that's what my husband and I both did. And then, gosh, like I said, it was hard, but we did a lot of prayer. We actually did praying together as a couple for a little while, which we're not very strong on, but I think it really helped. I asked for Mother Mary's intercession and St. Monica's intercession and blessed her in her sleep. we did a really hardcore reset on friends and did a lot of family time. I called one of the other girls' mom and said I didn't want them having any more contact with each other, and I felt like I had every right to do that as a mom, because if anyone was being a bad influence on my child, or I felt that they were not a good influence on my child, I have the right to say I don't want your child to be around mine. I don't want her to contact my daughter. We spent a lot of family time. I even called the school and contacted some teachers to say, hey, my daughter's just saying my daughter's having a difficult time with friends, didn't have to go into details. Can you try to get her set up with some good friends when they're doing group work or whatever in school? We pulled out all the stops. I felt like.
Where is your daughter now with all this?
She is an amazing girl. That was about 3 years ago. She is a strong, confident 18-year-old. Not doing
very,
a whole lot of dating, but definitely wants to date
very
boys.
Comfortable with her biological sexual identity.
Absolutely.
Your point was
a short phase.
Yeah, your point reflects a lot of what is now going on, which is the confusion that occurs.
Yes.
For many perspectives, and one of them is friends who will convince you that you need to think about this, experience this. How will you know unless you actually try it?
Right.
I saw a survey that the numbers were absolutely off the charts in terms of that peer group saying you can't really know what your natural sexual attraction is until you try both. That's
right.
Off the charts.
And they were just being really bad influences, and I was able to pick out other things just in talking to her, like, oh, what do they say about schoolwork, or what do they say about your grades, and find other ways to show her that they did not have her best interest at heart.
Did she have, by any chance,
I don't want to beat this up too much, but
did she have a smartphone?
Yes, mm-hmm. She did. And we thought we had somewhat of controls on it. I've learned that there are places out there who can help you look into things on your kid's smartphone and help you set up different things and different controls, which we needed help with because she's our oldest. We had never had to go through that. But we were able to find places that could help you set up controls and monitoring things on your kids' phones.
Once upon a time, parents knew personally at some level who the kids were hanging with. The smartphone, the internet, social media has opened up a whole world that the parents can't monitor, and that pretty much anybody can enter that world, can stay in that world, and can persuade, convince, seduce a child. Happens all the time. It is now becoming almost routine. Fortunately, Mom, you got wind of this. And you took some parental action, as you said. I have a right as a parent. And things right now with your daughter have stabilized out wonderfully. So God bless you. That is too cool to hear. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And a lot of it was things that we heard from listening here, listening to you and some of the other shows on EWTN, I also talked with her. I said, you know, God made women beautiful. Just because you find women beautiful doesn't mean that you're necessarily attracted. I think that's a confusing thing when
it
you're
is.
At that age.
It is. When you are at that age, it's very common. They can have a friendship, and all of a sudden that friendship is an exciting friendship, admiring friendship, and then the question becomes, gee, maybe that's what I'm attracted to. You're right, Mom. Mary Alice, please call back. It's a good comment. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Thanks, Eric Dumont. Good Lord permitting, I will get a chance to talk to you tomorrow. Always walk with God. Now that's someone that's never going to let go of your hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.